Have you ever read a so what story? Or maybe you've heard one awkwardly at a dinner party. This is apparently a term used in creative writing circles to give critique to writers whose stories may be fine, but they're kind of inconsequential. We have a lot of English teachers in this community, so I hope I'm using this term right. I'm getting a nod. Thank you, Bonnie. It feels like at the end of the story, it's kind of missing a punchline. A so what story is defined this way by one creative writing coach. It's a story where there's no change to anything based on the events of the story. The characters make no consequential decisions. Their actions do nothing to alter any aspect of the world of the story. Things might happen, but there's no rhetorical purpose to them happening at all. Readers are moved to ask why they read the story, or so what? You know when you've read a story or you've heard one because you think at the end, and... Y'all, I want to be honest and tell you that lots of people think Easter is a so what story. In fact, a lot of people have a good reason to ask if this story is just a nice tale to hold on a difficult day. Maybe some of us have been there. A Palestinian Jew claiming to be God was raised a couple thousand years ago. Cool. God, creator of all the world, can do God-like stuff. So, what? Let's pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, because you are God, and we are not. Amen. On Easter, we heard the resurrection story, and we talked about what it means to be practicing followers of Jesus. Practicing meaning both people who are rusty but keep trying, and people who are called to make our faith real. It's the practice of being a disciple. Today, we are beginning a new series in the season of Easter. I have great news for you. Lots of times we hear about the season of Lent. It's 40 days. It feels a lot longer than that. We give up things. Everybody's sad. Rend your hearts, not your clothing, right? We even cover the cross. It's a long time. Well, great news. The season of Easter, it's not just a day. It's a whole season, and it's even longer than Lent. In the season of Easter, we're going to continue to celebrate the story, and what we're going to talk about here is practicing resurrection. Now, I do have one request. Please don't go into the streets and tell people Pastor Megan made us practice resurrection in worship today. As one of the very few clergy women in town, I'm not interested in anybody wanting to burn me at the stake, okay? What we are focusing on is the significance of the resurrection now. Why does it matter? So what? And what does it mean for how we live our lives every day, how we love those around us, how we share what we have? Today, we are asking, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for you that death couldn't hold Jesus down? In John's gospel today, we heard the story of Jesus appearing to the disciples in a couple of different ways. First, he appeared to a group of disciples gathered, and he showed them his hands and his side. He spoke to them, and he said twice. Now, this is anytime Jesus repeats himself, you're going to want to listen. Twice he says, "Peace be with you." You heard, as Sue read the story, they were afraid, right? And what is the first thing that Jesus offers them? Peace. They could probably use a little bit of peace in these difficult moments. But for some reason, Thomas wasn't there. Thomas was probably heartbroken and grieving and weary of being hopeful again. When he heard from the other disciples that Jesus had appeared to them, he had the reaction that a lot of people probably would have. Come on, y'all. Don't mess with me. My heart can't take much else. You may know what that's like. You've been let down in such a huge way that it's hard to let yourself hope again. Or you've just watched all that you loved crumble, and so anyone peddling easy answers or fairy tales, they seem suspicious. I don't know about you, but to me, Thomas feels like a friend, like a kindred spirit. I want us to notice here that over time, Thomas has gotten a bad rap, but that isn't how Jesus deals with him. Sometimes we hear, do not doubt, but believe, more like a mean girl's phrase, right? Like, don't doubt, but believe. But what we hear is Jesus answering Thomas's plea. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. You can hear Thomas saying, I can't let myself. I hear Jesus' answer to Thomas's plea a little more like, okay, Thomas, I know it's been hard. I gotcha. Throughout this story, we hear peace shared, broken people seen, fears quelled. These are stories that are consistent with the whole gospel, right? This is Jesus being Jesus. But why do we have these stories of resurrection and appearances to the disciples? So what? Sometimes in scripture, we have to extrapolate. Sometimes we have to dig deep into symbolism. Sometimes we do a lot of Googling and a lot of reading to try and figure out the depth of what things mean. But today, friends, we have an easy answer because John gives it to us straight in verse 31. I wrote all these stories down so that you may know Jesus is the one who was promised to us, and so that you might have life in his name. John's putting all of his cards on the table. Our first so what today comes to us from the writer of John's gospel himself. I share these stories, he's saying to us, I share these stories so that you can be included amongst this group who has journeyed and followed and seen Jesus working. I shared these stories so that you, reader and hearer, centuries later, might have a life that is abundant and enveloped by the love and the hope and the peace of Jesus Christ. There's a phrase that's at the end of verse 31 that we don't often define. We do this a lot in the church, and as a clergy person in a robe, I need to just tell you, I'm sorry. Sometimes we say stuff over and over, pretending like we all know what it means, but lots of people don't know what it means, okay? So that's our permission to say, I don't know. We hear this phrase at the end of verse 31, that says, in the name of Jesus. We can mistake that phrase often, that you might have life in the name of Jesus. We can sometimes think that means just magically there's something about the word itself. Certainly there is power in the name of Jesus, but what does that mean? What does that actually mean? Does it mean simply that every person with a similar name comes with supercharged batteries? In the culture at this time, to have life in the name of Christ is to have a life in the authority, the cause, and the character of Christ. That's what it means to have life in the name of Christ. In the authority, the cause, and the character. That's what the Greek word name means here. The writer of John's gospel is inviting us into a life in Christ's authority, Christ's way of living, Christ's cause. That's what it means to be a disciple. John is inviting us to join the cause, to live the character, to know the authority of Jesus. And where did John get that from? He got it directly from Jesus' actions in these texts. Jesus shows up to the disciples, not simply to freak them out or to pop out of the corner like, I saw that. Have you guys seen that sticker or that mug? I have a mug. It's Jesus peeking out. I saw that. It's not just so that Jesus can be like, hooray, right? It's not some sort of magic show. Jesus shows up so that They can know his life and they can share it. They can join the work. It's important for us to hear the words that Jesus actually says to the disciples, because the writer of John's gospel has invited us to be in the disciples. And so here we are. What is it that Jesus says to the disciples? Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Our second so what today comes from Jesus himself. We learn from his words that when you're a disciple, you are sent to join the mission, you are equipped to join the mission, and you are accompanied in the work of the mission. This is life in the name of Christ. We hear Jesus speak to the disciples, and he says, these stories of resurrection matter because you are invited into my life and mission. So first, you're sent to join the mission. Jesus says, just as the Father has sent me, so I send you. There's kind of this, I'm passing it along. You're joining the same thing we started. Just as the God of the universe sent Jesus into the world, this is important, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus showed up so that they can know they're now part of the plan that God is enacting in the world. To practice a faith following Jesus is to be sent into the world carrying the truth and the hope and the love of Jesus Christ wherever you go. I want us to hear again, in John 3, we know that God sends Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but to love the world, to save the world. That is the mission we are joining. These stories of resurrection matter not only because you are sent to join the mission, but because you are equipped. You are equipped to join the mission. Now, I recognize probably some of you, maybe all of your muscles just tightened a little bit, or you had that little voice in you that was like, don't, no. Or, I'm not good enough. Don't ask me to do anything, God. I don't know all the stuff. I'm not equipped, right? There's a great line from a Nickel Creek song called Doubting Thomas. Can I be used to help others find truth? When I'm scared, I'll find proof that it's a lie. Please give me time to decipher the signs. Please forgive me for the time that I've wasted. I'm a doubting Thomas. I'll take your promise, though I know nothing's safe. We used to judge Thomas, and we used to have this sense that maybe Thomas needed to get it together, but I want us to hear permission in Thomas today that what Jesus does is meet Thomas where he is and equip him with what he needs. This is not Jesus shaming Thomas. This is Jesus saying, hey, listen, I get it, and I'll meet you, and here are my hands and my side. And other people won't even get to have this, but I will equip them too. Not only are you sent to join the mission, you are equipped. Now, just for 1 second, I want to speak to that little voice in you again. That little voice that feels like you're too frail, or maybe you're too far, or maybe you're not good enough. I want you to hear that the disciples that we learned from throughout the Gospels are people who don't have it all together either, and yet God meets them again and again. And even in this dark room when they're scared. These stories of resurrection matter now, not only because you are sent to join the mission and you are equipped, but also because you are accompanied in the work. You don't go alone. Jesus spoke to the disciples and breathed on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What we know is that they don't go alone, and neither do we. The Holy Spirit goes with us. However strange and frail and unprepared we feel, God does God's best work at the end of our ropes. What we know in following the stories of the gospel is that God shows up in the flesh when we thought death had the last word. You are called into the mission and you're equipped for the mission because you don't go by your own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Resurrection isn't just about what God did in Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's about what God is continuing to do in us right here and right now. It's about God inviting us to live in the character, the authority, and the cause of Christ. The story of Jesus' resurrection matters because, friends, it's not over. Christ showed up to his disciples, some faithful and some struggling, to tell them that not only does God conquer ultimate death, but the cause of Christ is new life all around us. We are called not only to practice our faith, but to practice resurrection. And so what that Jesus rose from the grave and that God conquered death? So that you might know the life of Christ and be invited into the work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.